Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two.
All right, we're going to get into our first segment today, which is called Girl, What's Good, where we talk about something we've been loving for the past couple of weeks. It could be a book, a show, a store, anything that you've been loving. So Samaria, what's been good with you?
All right, so mine is a show, and it is on Hulu. I feel like I always do shows, but you guys.
Well, I think we're content junkies, both of us.
Yeah,
it's okay. I love it.
So mine is on Hulu, and it's called Only Murders in the Building. Yeah, it has 2 seasons. It has Selena Gomez, Martin Short, and Steve Martin. So it stars all 3 of them, and they are obsessed with murder mysteries, and they're investigating murders that happen in their apartment building. Mm-hmm. But it's not just a murder type show. It's also a comedy, which I think they do very well. Like, I was like, how is this going to be a comedy and a mystery? Like, how are we talking about murder and laughing? But it's so well done. And they have 2 seasons so far. I got onto this show pretty late. I got put onto it after the 2nd season, but I'm hopeful that there will be a 3rd season, and I'll definitely be watching it. So yeah, Only Murders in the Building.
Okay. Yeah. When you said Steve Martin, I said, is this a comedy?
Right.
Am I thinking of the right comedian? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's really good. And you know, like murder stuff and crime stuff, like that's up my alley. Mm-hmm. I just haven't found the best like true crime podcast. So if you guys listen to true crime podcasts, please recommend them. Like send us a DM at Girlfriends and Goals Podcast on Instagram, because I think it'll be cool to start listening to those as well. But yeah, I enjoyed this show.
So I didn't know you were as into true crime podcasts, because I actually really like true crime podcasts. I was really into Serial, and then I got into a few others, like Cold Case File type podcasts. Mm-hmm. And my favorite right now is like one of the biggest ones. It's called Crime Junkie. But yeah, it's you can find it on any platform. It has 2 hosts, and they do murders, but they also do missing people. And they're, I think it's mostly in the U.S. So yeah, Crime Junkie is a big one. Yeah,
you know, I love like Criminal Minds and those types of shows, but those are fictional. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking about making the transition into, you know, actual like real stories. And so I'm still getting my feet in the water. So I shouldn't say like I'm obsessed with that just yet, but I am looking to make that transition. I might later on decide, girl, fiction is where you need to stay with your scary time.
But years ago, like when I first got into, you know, I would listen to them while I was at work or driving. And when I got pregnant, I realized, I don't know if it was the hormones or emotions, but I pretty much had to stop cold turkey on all true crime content.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it just would get to me. I don't know if I was getting emotionally attached, or it was just making me very like jumpy, just because these are real people. And I remember I was watching, I can't remember the name of the show, but I'll put it in the show notes. It was on Netflix, I believe. True crime style. And it, like one of the stories was a few miles from my house, but from years ago. And that was like the last thing that I listened to.
What?
While I was pregnant. I don't know. I could not do it. And I didn't get back into it until I was almost a year postpartum. I don't know. I just, being in that space, I did not want to hear about any of that stuff.
I don't, have you seen Worst Roommate Ever on
No,
Netflix?
I haven't seen it, but it always pops up. You?
You should watch it. Yeah, so it took me a while to watch it because I was like, first of all, why is there a grandma on the cover? It just seems strange, but someone recommended it and all of it isn't like, Yeah, I think you should watch it. I didn't want to give anything away, but definitely watch the first episode and then see how you feel about it. But yeah, that when I talk about getting my feet in the water, like that type of stuff is what I'm referencing.
Okay, okay. I'll have to check it out. Well, what's been good with me has been a podcast. So more content. And it's called How Married Are You? And it features a husband and wife duo. Yeah. I would say, I don't want to call them family vloggers. I would just mainly say more so lifestyle influencers because they do showcase their children, but their family channel, their YouTube channel is about the father's journey through fatherhood or the dad's journey through fatherhood. And then they have the podcast, which is the husband and the wife. And I've just really been enjoying their podcast because it feels very genuine, very wholesome. They do offer advice when people write in or call in, but the majority of the content is just them, I think, documenting their experiences through marriage from their own perspectives. And sometimes I will say it's almost too real. Like some of the conversations, you just feel like, oh, I don't know if I should be a fly on the wall during this conversation. But I will say though that I think it's good for some people to see that type of content that's well-rounded. You know, it's not all roses and perfect and super curated, very down to earth, but not in like a uncomfortable way. You know, like, you know, some people are like, oh, they kept it real, but it's like, okay, does it really need to be kept that real?
Right. Like to the detriment of their marriage real. Like,
right. There's still a lot of love and respect there. But yeah, so I've been loving their podcast. I'm shocked that it kind of just came across my radar because I feel like I've seen their main channel a lot. But I realized that they had stopped recording for like a year and a half. So a lot of their episodes are from like 2-3 years ago, but they're still really good. And then within the last month, they've started re-uploading. So I think that's why it came across my radar. But it's called How Married Are You? And you can find it on YouTube and I think all major podcast platforms.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've seen an episode or two on YouTube that I actually sat down to watch. So when you said it, I was like, I think I'm subscribed to that podcast on my podcast app, but no, it's actually YouTube that I've seen them on. That's kind of how I felt about the Love Hour, which is Kim on stage and Melissa's like old podcast because she doesn't do that one anymore. But they have a book that's actually just come out called Marriage Be Hard. And so I think, you know, they document a lot of that stuff in the book. I don't know. I haven't read it just yet. But yeah. Okay, cool. So How Married Are You? I loved our suggestions today. I miss when Girl Was Good. I feel like it's been a minute since we've done it. Yeah. Well, all right. So for today's topic, we're just going to go ahead and jump right in. We are talking about confrontations. And the title of this episode, as you guys saw, is Get Confrontational, because I feel like it's something that people are hesitant to do, especially as you're becoming grown. You know, there are some people who are overly confrontational, you know, and then there are others who are like, you know what? I'll just leave it be and not say anything when there really needs to be some type of balance. But I think that's the thing about becoming a woman and just growing as an adult is deciding what that balance is for you. So I want to start off with this question. What does confrontational mean to you? Like, what is it and what is it not?
Well, I think two things when I think of confrontational. I think a person being described as being confrontational. So someone who's like argumentative, maybe hostile, someone who is maybe a little unfriendly in the way that they're addressing situations. And so obviously those aren't the most positive things. So I wouldn't necessarily want to be described as being confrontational.
Okay.
And then the other thing I think of is someone who's confronting a situation or a person. So them choosing to address a situation or a person, but maybe they know going into it that there's a difference of opinion or outlook. And so going into the conversation, they're almost kind of bracing themselves. So yes, you're being confrontational, I guess, in that moment, but you're just addressing the situation, and maybe it doesn't involve you being hostile or unfriendly or
Yeah.
unnecessarily argumentative.
Yeah. So I think just in line with what you said, from what I've seen, a lot of people think of the first thing that you describe. And that then prevents them from confronting real life things that need to be confronted, or saying, okay, I'll just bear the brunt of whatever the situation is, whether it's the emotional burden or a lot of times like the physical burden. Not necessarily speaking up and saying what it is that you want for yourself because you're so afraid of being seen as someone who is overly aggressive and argumentative, like you said. So yeah, I think for me, that's what I would put into the what it is not category. It is not being ridiculously disrespectful. It's not addressing every single thing under the sun. It's not bullying your way into having your way. So that's what I would say it's not. And I think I've had to rewire myself to realize what it is. And that's what I think it is just being able to say what I would like in a situation or being able to address where I've been wronged. And making sure that there is a clear path forward where I'm not feeling like I have to shrink and the other person isn't just obliviously going through life feeling like they did nothing to me.
Gotcha. So I am curious, what would you call a person? If you wouldn't call it being confrontational, what would you call it? Like all the things I described as like them being aggressive and unnecessarily argumentative, because we've all seen those people. They have their space and lane. So what would you call them?
I might say this person is straightforward. So wait, we're talking about the good kind of confrontation, right? Not the serious.
No, the bad kind.
Oh, I might just say this person is overly aggressive or they're trying to pick a bone all the sing like every single time. They don't know when to pick their battles. They're always fussing. There's always an issue. I probably would
Difficult.
describe them as that, but I don't. And I guess it is confrontational. Maybe the difference that we need to make is being confrontational or confronting something or somebody doesn't necessarily make you confrontational. Like, confrontational is someone's legit nature. Whereas confronting someone is just like a situation by situation basis.
Because I think when I think of someone who's confrontational, I think of them, even in situations that don't call for it, they're ready. They stay
Okay.
ready.
They stay ready so they don't have to get ready.
So what has been your history with confrontation? Has this been something you feel like you have dealt with easily, or has it been hard for you?
I would say it's been hard for me, and it still is a little bit. It has gotten better, but I remember a particular instance in, let's say, 2019, where I had to confront someone about something, and I literally called my sister crying because I'm like, I have to tell this person this because if I don't say this, then I will be ridiculously unhappy with this situation. And my sister is more straightforward, and so she was able to advise me, like, look, this has to be done, and I did it, and it worked out fine. And so I think that moment was a turning point for me to not just take nonsense or not just be the one to be unhappy in a situation when I could have spoken up and confronted a situation. So yeah, my history, it hasn't been great, but it's gotten better. What I do now, because I actually had to do this like within the last week, but what I do now is write down what my feelings are and what my thoughts are, think about it for some time, like say at least a week or so. And then I have some friends who I trust. There's one in particular who's really good at wording things. And I usually send it to that the group of friends that that person is in and get the different perspectives. And then whatever, you know, they settle on, I get their verbiage. And then I take that back and decide how I can make that sound like me and how I can confront the thing, still be me, still put my voice on it, but, you know, have a little bit of sternness in that as well. Yeah. What's your history? I'm really curious to know what you're going to say, because I feel like your perception of yourself might be different from my perception of you with this question.
I would say that I wouldn't say that it's been easy for me, but I don't have issue with confronting things.
Okay, it's the same.
Yeah, I can't say that it's been easy. I would say, I don't know, from the time I was a child, I don't know if it would be described as sticking up for myself, but I haven't had an issue with doing that. Like, I could remember a situation in elementary school, like this kid bullying me. And I'm just like, you're not going to be throwing your weight around on me, little me.
What you thought this was.
Right? As small as I am. But yeah, I don't think that it's been easy. But I, for whatever reason, have known, like, okay, this is something that you have to do. And I don't know if that's because I can be very observant of the people around me and kind of see other people's situations and not always apply it to my life. But if I saw something similar going on with these people, I may say, oh, well, if I don't address this, is this going to be me?
Yeah. And that's an eye opener.
Yeah. So that makes me like, oh no, like I could fix this before it gets to that point. And so, yeah, I wouldn't describe it as easy. And then as of recently, I would say that it's become, I don't know if it's more difficult or I'm just much more thoughtful about how I go about confronting things. I feel like in my younger youth, I was more hasty about just getting it done. Being a bit impatient about like, oh, well, let me just address this right now so I can get it behind me and move on with my life. But as of recently, I feel like I take a lot more time and thought into how I'm going to confront someone and if it's even worth confronting.
Would you say that that's a result of maybe having a closer circle now than in your youth? Like, I feel like at this stage, you have the people in your corner, like, there aren't as many acquaintances, it feels like. So the relationships that you have, you are trying to go the distance with them. And so you have to be more careful. You can't just be loose with the lips and ruin a friendship that's been going on for 5 years or 6 years or however long that you really saw going the distance.
Yeah. And I think there's just a bit more maturity there in realizing that people aren't perfect and
or disposable.
Right. And you can't be overly nitpicky with people because you don't want them to be that way with you either. So, yeah, you said that you felt like you would have a different answer. So you thought that I would think it was easy for me?
No, I don't know that I thought you would say it was easy, but I knew or I perceived that it was something you felt like always needed to be done. So you always did it. Like you had no problem doing it. That was the perception. So you agreed with me. Like I'll say for me, I very much hate having to confront things. So when you have hating to confront things and also maybe a feeling that you have to sacrifice yourself for others, which I think is a trait that I have, those two things really make it difficult. Like I already hate doing this thing. So nothing's like making me eager to go run and do it. But then I also consider the other person's feelings perhaps more than mine for a really long time. or I have in the past, I consider the other person's feelings for a very long time before I even think to consider mine. And while I'm not completely doing away with that, I do realize that I've often been the one getting the short end of the stick, and I would like to place myself on an even plane. Like, nobody's been doing this to me. I've been doing it to myself. So I think that's what's like kind of forced me to do that.
And I'm glad you brought up that no one's been doing it to you. You've been doing it to yourself. Mm-hmm. One thing that I realized is that a lot of times people don't always know what they're doing, or maybe they've made certain assumptions. And so you may be going into something that you need to confront and the person doesn't know, or even if they know, they may don't realize how much it's hurt you or affected you. So they sometimes can welcome you bringing it to their attention, whatever's happened.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I guess the next thing that I would want to know is, what's the process that you take when you have to confront? Because it's something that you've always been able to do. So what is that process like for you? Do you get outside advice? Do you have a friend help you like draft the message? What do you do?
I'll add that I don't like confrontation.
Okay.
It doesn't make me feel good. My process is giving it a lot of thought, bringing myself to a place that's not overly emotional. So taking some time. Sometimes I will discuss it with other people and get their feedback, but also keeping in mind, especially if they don't know the person, that they maybe don't understand the intricacies and all of that. So understanding that their advice that they're giving, you know, that they're giving the best that they can, but they don't know the full context in the person that they're dealing with. So sometimes I'll get other people's opinions, but usually I take my time, try not to be emotional when I'm thinking through how I want to address the situation or conversation. And then thinking about what my goal is, because you know, it's like sometimes you can confront a situation and the outcome really is you just saying your piece. So what I've learned is to kind of steer clear of confronting type situations where you're just speaking your piece. If my goal is to maintain and keep this friendship and to make sure all future interactions go pleasant, great. But if it's just to be speaking my piece, why?
Like certain situations, you have to know not to vent to that particular person. you might have to write it in a journal, or you can tell somebody else. But if it is just, I need to vent about this thing, probably not the best idea to go to the person who's not, I don't want to say causing the issue, but who's the source of that vent session happening.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, what's my goal here? And if I agree, like, okay, I want to accomplish that, that's what I'm trying to get done, then yeah, I'll move forward on it. And then adjust my expectations as well. Because, you know, like sometimes you can address things with certain people and no matter how you word it, how polite you are, they just, for whatever reason, don't take well to criticism.
Yes.
So adjusting my expectations and kind of going in expecting not much. I don't want to say nothing, but adjusting my expectations and that, you know, you just know who you're dealing with and some people can take criticism better than others and are willing to adjust. So just factoring in who the person is, what my history is with them, how do they handle conflict or confrontation with other people? Because I've had situations where I have certain people in my life where I know the very first time I confront them about it, they're not going to hear anything. And so once I know that about them, so I'm like, okay, round two, we'll get through. Or maybe they'll come back to me 2 or 3 days later and say, oh, okay, yeah, you were right.
Yeah. You know, you said something about being careful who you accept the advice from because they might not know the person, but also like they might not know the relationship and how you feel with you feel about that person, the level of closeness that you've had and the history that's there. And so I think that can be a huge reason why it's always best to, even if you're getting advice, come back and think through the advice that you've been given and adjust it so that it fits you and what you're comfortable with saying to this person that you understand your history with.
Oh yeah, 100%. And they might be biased and not know it. I mean, with you and I can try to be unbiased, but it's a piece of it will always be there.
Yeah, on. you're way too invested in me. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, you're probably more invested in me than I am when it comes to confront things. I'm just like, okay.
Like, say something.
Yeah. This happened like a few weeks ago and you were like, okay, so what are we gonna do about this now? And I was like, nothing. What do you mean? Like, what, we're not doing anything about it. So yeah, I think in addition to some of the things that you said, one of the things that I've learned with my process not to do is to be hasty. Because I do think when something's weighing on you, there's this tendency to want to just get it out of the way, you know, and feel like, oh, by this date, for me, I would put a date on it. It sounds ridiculous, but I'm like, by this date, I need to have this resolved so I can just move on with my life. And with the most recent thing that I did that with, when that date started coming up, I realized how much pressure I was putting on myself. And I was like, you can't do this by that date. This is proof that you're just not ready to have this conversation yet. And now you're trying to force a resolution when you're not at peace with it, just to have it done by this deadline that nobody, once again, is forcing on you but yourself. And so I think now my process involves not being hasty and just really making note of where I stand and how I feel about having that conversation at a particular time, if I need to let more time pass or if I need to maybe take more immediate action. And I do that. But yeah, so not being ridiculously hasty. I do seek advice from others, like I said, and it might not be a whole lot of people. It could just be one person who's trusted. And the reason why I do this is because I don't want to be in the wrong when I'm confronting somebody, you know, like I want to make sure that I can see myself clearly. So when you go to someone for advice and they're like, no, I actually think you were tripping when you did this. And you have to own up and be accountable for that. So seeking advice from others for me is more than just having people who have your back and are riding for you and like, go girl, do this thing. It's really about holding myself accountable in every single way before I go and make that confrontation. Because then I think when you miss that step, you might show up being a little too self-righteous and there might be something that you just did not take into consideration because you were in your feelings, you know?
Those feelings, boy.
And I think it's like, it's a way of, you said something about adjusting your expectations of the other person, but it's kind of a way of adjusting your expectations of yourself. Like, I can't show up to this with all the energy in the world. Like, you did me wrong. Like, that's not, I don't think that's cool. I don't think that's the best way to confront a situation, especially with someone who you want a continued relationship with.
Oh yeah. You definitely have to be prepared. I don't know, for a curveball is what I'll call it, but you don't, sometimes during confrontation, things that they've been holding on to something that you've done. So you go into it all rah, rah, and they're like, what? But hold up. Right. You did this thing too. So while we're at it, which I don't know that that's the best way to handle. Like, if we're addressing one thing, let's keep it to one thing, but we're human. And if there was something else that you did, you have to keep an open mind too. Like, okay, now this person is confronting me about whatever they feel needs to be confronted.
I will say though, going back to our Learn How to Apologize episode, there are those people who feel like they have to keep bringing stuff about you to distract you from the reason why you showed up to the confrontation in the first place. So I do want to make that distinction because I don't think that's what you're referring to. I think people like other people might want to make sure that they bring up points that are relevant to the confrontation that's going on. Another thing that I do is I try to refrain from putting it in text because that could go left real fast.
I
So,
mean, so many things we have to avoid in text. Just,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
If I do it in text, I have to put like so many exclamation points, just like soften up my tone a little bit, you know? So
Why are you
they have a
yelling at me?
confident, right? I'm like, girl, what you excited about? But
So
yeah.
you've talked about your process, but have you had something recently where you feel like you've had to confront that you can share?
Oh, there was a situation where I felt like I was left out of something that was like really important in someone's life. And interestingly enough, I was okay with it, right? Like I was like, okay, I don't necessarily need to be, but it did show me that there were things that needed to be discussed that clearly hadn't been. Because other than that, there wouldn't have been a reason for things to go down the way that they did. And so for me, I was like, okay, at some point, I do need to address this because even if this relationship isn't going forward in the way that I thought it would be going forward, right? I would at least like to set the record straight. If things need to be said, I would like to provide that space for those things to be said. Because I didn't, the thing is, I didn't have really anything negative to like, I confronted this because I perceived that maybe there were negative things that the other person had to say to me that weren't said. And so I was thinking, oh, we're all chummy, we're all good. And it turned out not to be that way, you know? And so I just kind of realized, it's going to keep going this way where things are left unsaid and things are left unsettled unless somebody initiates some type of discussion around it. And so after some time, it took me a while to like, you know, do it, but I knew that it needed to be done eventually. It was just a thing of timing, right? Like when is the right time to do it? When will I be in the right headspace to do it? Have I gone through all of the feelings that I need to feel? Because initially I was all good, but then I did start to feel a certain way and wanted to get to the bottom of why I felt that way, you know. So I did end up confronting it. So I'm very proud of myself for doing that because it did take a lot. But yeah, that's the most recent thing. It was just clearly there was some stuff that needed to be talked about.
And you were think keeping the future in mind. I think that's the important piece here of like when you're faced with wanting to confront something. You're thinking about, okay, how do I improve the future interactions or dealings with this person so that neither one of us are miserable? You know, we want to lead happy, loving, fulfilling lives, not be around people or in situations that are unnecessarily uncomfortable when it can just be hashed out.
Or where I'd have to be fake, you know, like that is just too great of a burden to bear. Like I it really is like you're in these spaces and I mean, I understand like workspaces or spaces where you're in with people you're not necessarily super close with, you know, definitely put on the face that you have to put on for that event. But when this is real life and people who are in your circle, it makes no sense to show up inauthentically just to appease one person when just one conversation could squash all of that.
So true. It's so draining being in those situations, having to like smile and grin through it. And it's just like, why am I here?
Yeah. What's your situation?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up work because this wasn't recent, but some years ago, I was in a situation at work where, and I'm gonna insert this here. So y'all remember earlier how I said I don't have an issue with confronting things? Well, I might have to walk this back because I don't think that it applies in like work career situations, which I kind of forgot about. But anyway, so I was in this situation at work where a coworker made a racial comment towards me. And yeah, I don't know if I told you this. I can't remember.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was really crazy. But yeah, so they make this comment on like a conference call. They weren't in person with me. And I was in shock. So I get off the call and they immediately like call me. And I didn't answer, like on my private office line. Mm-hmm. I didn't answer. They leave a voicemail admitting to it and how sorry they were. I didn't respond. I let it be. Mm-hmm. I was just really in shock for the rest of the day. I just couldn't even, I was just like, did this really happen?
I kind of want to know what the comment was. But I don't
and
know
so,
podcast friendly.
Yeah. And so after the next day, I decided to go to my direct manager and to say like, hey, this happened.
Okay.
But my manager and this person were buddy-buddy. And so I already knew like, okay, nothing's going to become of this. And honestly, at the time, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to become of it because my brain starts working like, okay, is there going to be retaliation? Just a whole slew of things started coming to my like, do I really want to deal with this? And I was already ready to leave the company anyway. So I'm like, oh, I'm about to be out of here. But either way, after a few days, I mentioned it to another coworker who say was like a level above me.
Okay.
And she was like, oh no, this is not going to stand on my watch. Like something has to be done about this. So very long story short, I was not going to confront this person about it or take it up another level until I was encouraged by another person. Mm-hmm. And more so, I guess I wanted to know that I would have support. So, you know, when you're in like career type situations, it can be hard to confront certain things because you don't want to be seen as confrontational, problematic, you know, as a Black woman,
right?
Standing up for yourself is like, oh, you're doing all these things wrong. How dare you stand up for yourself? But yeah, with her encouragement, I did stand up for myself. I confronted the situation and it was handled, but my initial reaction wasn't to like run to HR about it just because there was some fear there of like, okay, could they retaliate against me? And then I end up losing my job.
Okay.
And you know, it's happened. I do think that those fears are warranted, but I was very thankful for her and her support during that. And it gave me the motivation, like going forward, like, okay, Miosha, even in these situations, mm-hmm. maybe you don't act hastily. Maybe you take your thoughts in consideration, all these things, you know, keep it in mind, but that doesn't mean you just lay over and you take it. Mm-hmm. And then like the icing on the cake was the admission on my voicemail. So,
okay. You left evidence. But how do you decide? We talked about the work situation, but how do you decide if something is even worth confronting? Like we said, you can't fight every battle, you know, you have mm-hmm. to choose wisely. So what is that distinction between, I'm going to just leave this alone and I need to say something about
yeah.
this?
Well, the number one thing would be, what is the result in terms of like feelings or situation that I'm being put in mm-hmm. of this confrontation or whatever it is that needs to be addressed?
Yeah.
So am I going to be in distress? Am I going to be in a bad position because of what's happening? Mm-hmm. I think about me, basically, like, can I live with this? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be extremely uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. So that's number one. I try to keep me in mind. And then the other thing is, if I genuinely feel like by me addressing this, progress can be made. Mm-hmm. If I'm dealing with, what do they call the shark conflict style? Mm-hmm. I'm probably just going to leave it be because I just can't go round and round back and forth with people on certain things. Now, that's not to say that I don't have certain situations in my life where I've had to confront it multiple times, mm-hmm. but at least in those situations, like in the moment, the person's like, okay, I get it. We can like move forward. But I'm talking about there's no admission of wrong. They're acting like nothing happened. It's just like, what planet am I on? Who am I? Just being gaslit, out of this planet. Yeah, I'm probably not going to address it. Just, yeah, it's a waste of my time.
Yeah, for me, I think about what do I want if it's like in my personal life, what do I want out of this relationship? So for me, if I am prepared to let this person go, then I will confront something because I know that I'm about to pull all the way back and I don't want there to be any confusion about why I did that. But on the other hand, if it's someone who I still want to be friends with, who I still want in my corner, I'll confront it because I want to give an opportunity for us to have a better relationship going forward. You know, mostly for me because that's who I have to look out for, right? I don't want to go forward in our relationship without you knowing the things that rub me the wrong way because now I don't have to sit through you rubbing me the wrong way over and over and over again because I've expressed to you what it is. And now you have a choice to make. So it puts that responsibility on you to either do or not do what needs to be done. So yeah, that's what I think about the future relationship. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast. And if you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. Don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.